Annyeonghaseyo, Sangeeta, Poonam and Meenal are back with another episode of Crash Landed on K-Dramas.
So today we are going to talk about our supporting cast in K-Dramas because there are so many actors other than the main leads who come across and who make the drama more meaningful, joyful for us to watch. When I was trying to look for my favorite supporting cast, I was wondering what is the definition of supporting cast? So Sangeeta, Meenal, who according to you are supporting cast in K-Dramas?
I would say if you look at the lead characters, the main lead, say second lead, and the important characters, the villains, living all these people, everybody else who is associated with them, right? Like say families, teams, colleagues,
friends. If you look at historical dramas, the courtiers, the maids of the queen, all of them which add a spice element, I think, to the drama. And without them, you wouldn't be enjoying the story at all.
And your teams at work, be it at hospital or a school, be it at a prosecutor's office, be it at a police detective's office. Does police detective have an office? Or, okay, at police station.
If you look at school dramas or sports dramas, your coaches, your teachers, all of that also adds on to it.
So, are we going to make a favorite K-drama family right now?
Isn't that the plan at the end of this? By the time we've discussed all the amazing actors and actresses.
Let's pick our dream team, dream family, dream friends, dream colleagues.
But before we go into the individual ones, I think first we have to let the listeners know the entire ensemble that we've enjoyed. I think let's kick off from that so people can identify and then we'll drill down.
Yes.
But hang on. I have to add one disclaimer, which is please forgive me for my pronunciation of the character names, actor names. Try my best, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to get loads of them wrong. So please forgive me if you are a Korean specifically.
Poonam, I'm glad you said that because that was going to be my disclaimer when I started speaking. So apologies in advance from all of us.
And I think what makes K-drama so special is that it's not just the lead characters or the villains. It's not always the good versus bad or the hero versus villain. It's always a whole drama that's happening around so many characters. And there is a story that is being woven with all these characters in mind, with all these characters in place. So I think that is what makes K-drama so wholesome and enjoyable. You get to understand so many different people's lives, their ways of work, and so many other things. That is what has been fascinating us for a lot of these dramas which we have enjoyed and we want to talk about today. What comes to your mind first, Poonam? So when you're talking about any such ensemble cast, a full wholesome cast for a drama, what is your top of the mind recall for a drama like that?
You girls are gonna just chime in. We have raved so much about Crash Landing on You, Suspicious Partners,
Weightlifting Fairy Kim Bok Choo.
Yeah.
What we want to tell the listeners is there are three or four favorite dramas of ours. My girl also, I should add Sangeeta. And
at Voice Over Flowers also we have mentioned in past. So we are not going to repeat the cardinal sin, which is to talk about these same dramas over and over again. We talked enough about it in season one and this is season two for us. So this is a fresh start.
Yeah. And for those listeners, if you want to hear about all these characters and dramas that we've loved so much, please go have a re-listen of our season one. And we're trying to get you introduced to more dramas in season two. Hence, we will not be covering those favorite ones.
Two of my top ensemble cast first would be Mr. Sunshine. I recently watched it and it is a 24-hour saga. Actually, much more than 24 hours. Probably close to 33 hours. So you can just imagine there are all kinds of characters spanning across three countries. Korea, Japan, and America. Each character, even the one who has the smallest one, is very intricately connected to the plot. Smallest of role grows meaningfully over there, and that each and every one is done really well. I'm pretty sure Sangeeta will have more to add on, so I will leave some of these things to her. Second one is Sang Kyun Kwan Scandal, because it had more than two leads, and the other folks that who were there, including the bad guy who in the university. If I were to give a best couple award for that year when the drama came out, I will give it to male co-leads. They're not co-leads even, because there's not a supporting story in there.
I'm going to interrupt you. You know why? I'm going to share a link where those two guys actually got the best couple award.
Meenal, I think you would remember, because you watched Sang Kyung-kwan's Scandal, they have kind of built up every single character pretty well. So for me, these two people stand out. And because we are going to talk more about the actors who played this, we can probably mention them more. But maybe we should mention these couples' names.
Yeah, it was Song Joong-ki and Yoo Ha-in. They got a lot of praise for their romance. And Song Joong-ki, I think it's one of his best roles, to be very honest.
Exactly. I recognized him as a lead, and Vincenzo and Dots came to me much later. It was there I first noticed him, and it's still my favorite. But then I haven't watched Vincenzo as well. He was such a flamboyant, and the guy who was with him, my God, he was so cool. And he was like this virile guy, you know, hunk over there. People would like to, man and woman, both would like to fall over.
I completely agree. Sangeeta, do you want to take on with Mr. Sunshine, and then I'll plug in my favorites?
Oh, yes. So Mr. Sunshine is one of my favorites too. Poonam and I both watched it almost at the same time recently. And Mr. Sunshine is such a long drama. So even that, knowing how much these days we have been saying that, no, why can't Korean dramas have shorter episodes, maybe 12, maybe 10. In these days, we have watched that. So imagine, you know, it is actually every drama, every character, every story adds to it. And you're just hooked to it. We could not even fast forward a lot. At best, we could watch some of the scenes at 1.5 speed, maybe on Netflix. That's all. That's like perfect example of a stellar supporting cast. Casting success, casting example, you can say that. But apart from Mr. Sunshine, few other dramas which I really remember for having this kind of wholesome setup is, Poonam, you'll agree with me on this, Jealousy Incarnate, Don't Dare to Dream. They have such a quirky team and friendship angle with Jo Jung-suk. And then again, this whole setup of Gong Hyo-jin, where she lives, Rak's Pasta, the building where she lives, and her neighbors, and her brother and his friends. There are so many characters in that drama. And everybody has an important story there. It's not like, okay, there are so many supporting characters, but the story is revolving around the main lead. No, there is so much happening with different characters, and everything is sort of joining to the main lead's romance, their story, and it's all coming together. And it's super quirky. It's like no other. Jealousy Incarnate's casting and the way the story is told, I think it's very different from any typical K-drama in any genre. The other one is Father is Strange. I think very few people would have watched this because it's a 50-episode drama. One of those soap operas.
Yeah, but I've heard such good reviews about it. I just don't know. So there are two dramas, Empress Ki and Father is Strange, which I have to catch on. I don't know when I'll do it. So 50 episodes.
Can somebody pay us for watching K-dramas?
I know, then I'll do it.
I swear.
I could happily do this then.
Totally.
This drama is on Netflix. If our viewers are interested, they can probably check this out.
It has some sweet love stories. You know, there are three sisters. It's about three siblings and their parents. So it's mainly the story of this family and how the male lead gets involved with this family. It's a very interesting story of misunderstandings about paternity. And there's some sort of mistaken identity of sorts. So there is a lot happening with the male lead and his father's character. It unfolds as the story progresses. And there are a lot of weird situations in between because the male lead is in love with the female lead, but he thinks she's his sibling. There's a lot of such funny incidents and weird equations happening between different characters. But overall, it is done so well. Like, this is something Poonam and I keep saying to Meenal, because Meenal enjoys watching all sorts of dramas, and she enjoys even huge ensemble casts and multiple arcs. But Poonam and I keep saying that we don't really enjoy so many arcs. We prefer to just focus on one or two leads.
True.
My God, imagine the Sunshine. There was nothing I could skip. There was no subplot I could skip. I had to follow each one. And like you said, only in few places I could do 1.5x
exactly.
That's all I could do. But following all those character arcs and yet each of them making its own mark, I think it is a credit to the writer as well as the entire cast.
That's why, you know, Reply 1988 hit me really well, is that every character had a story. Every character's relationships with other characters was compelling. Again, I won't talk about much about Reply 1988. My whole episode will be around Reply 1988. So I'm going to say it right now at the start. The ensemble to me is when each and every character makes you love them or hate them equally. Just enjoy that character when he comes on screen. Doesn't matter if they're main leads or not. Sangeeta, sorry, I have interrupted you.
That's okay. So that's, even though they had multiple arcs, all these three siblings have their own love stories. And there is this paternity issue going with the parents. But there is so much that's happening with the, all of them and the restaurant that they own. So you just keep watching. You want to understand, okay, what's happening next? What's happening next? And the love stories are also done very interestingly because they're not typical love stories. The eldest sister who fell out of love with somebody and then again she's getting back to them. The second one has another arc. Third one has another arc based on their ages also. Three sisters are at different ages. So based on that, they've written the love stories also. So it was very fascinating to watch that 50-hour long drama. And of course, the fact that the mother is Kim Hye-suk was an incentive enough. You know how much I love Kim Hye-suk, especially her mother characters. So that was incentive enough to watch. But overall, also, it was very good. And by the way, after this drama, the main male lead and female lead, Lee Joon and Jeon So-min, they started dating. Because
they spent 50 hours together, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
I mean, that is on screen. That is on screen 50 hours. Imagine the shooting time.
Yeah. Totally. So imagine how much fun it was then. That's what I wanted to say.
I was waiting when you would bring in Kim Hye-suk, you know. I mean, that happened pretty quickly though.
Yeah, but we'll get to her again, right? Because there's so much to talk about Kim Hye-suk.
Absolutely.
For me, I've already said Reply 1988, but two dramas I watched this year. Okay, Be Melodramatic is a couple of years ago, but I watched it this year. I loved it. Three friends, best friends in their 30s, set in the entertainment industry, and their love lives, and, dealing with a lot of issues, depression, job and unemployment, sucking up to bosses. One of the characters was also gay and how he was treated outside or how he had a relationship at work, etc. Loads of factors. So lovely. I would highly recommend viewers at some point to go watch this. The other bits I'd like to, a couple of ones I want to mention is Romance is a Bonus Book. I loved the supporting cast like anything. Actually, I don't like the main leads in that. But the supporting cast, I felt like going to that publishing office every day. I wanted to change my career and just go and work with them. Two dramas, which I don't think a lot of people speak about or have watched, is Argon, which is just 8 episodes set in the newsroom. So for me, what stood out in the drama is the fierce loyalty that each of them have, all the reporters amongst themselves and to the boss. Was brilliantly shown. And Hospital Ship, a medical drama set in a ship, okay? The hospital is in a ship and they go to all the villages. That's who they cater to. There is a lot of power dynamics going on at the back end of the surgeon who comes on board. But how they all come together, the villagers and the admin of the ship and the sailor of the ship and the whole nurses, such small storylines going on in parallel and the emotional connect among them as a team, I think that was brilliantly shown. So those were my picks for an ensemble. Sorry, last one, Sangeeta, I have to mention this. Law School. 2021, set in law school, 8 kick-ass students, 2 kick-ass professors. The murder happens in the first episode, so I'm not giving the plot away. And every episode then focuses on each student and their involvement to that murder. Beautifully played out and how those everybody rallies around each other. Again, to me, I think what sets apart is the camaraderie and the fierce loyalty that comes across in the characters. So these are the characteristics that stick with me, which is why I've enjoyed these dramas.
It almost included multiple ways of supporting cast or genres, right? Like say, you could say professor and students, and there is friends aspect of it. And there is also this professional colleagues part of it, because these students are also involved in the legal clinic.
Yes.
Multiple parts of it, multiple aspects of the same people which are being woven together. I think that was very beautifully done in law school.
Very well. And again, they handled so many issues within each plot.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I don't want to give anything because I feel if I talk about law school, we are giving away the plot to the listeners. So
totally.
Just go watch. Just go watch.
We will have to talk about law school in our future episodes also.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been talking, I spoke about three office casts, okay, on the dramas. Who are your picks if you want to work with a dream team?
I have two. One is Argan, Meenal, that you said, because if I have a dream team that I'm working with anywhere in the world, I want a team like that who will stick to me through thick and thin. And the loyalty for their leader, for their boss, even though they know they're being persecuted, even they know that if they side by him, they might lose their job. They often say that you leave an organization because of your supervisor, and you probably do something kick-ass also because of your supervisor. And I am a living embodiment of that. You definitely do care about your boss. And Argan had that. The team entirely rallied around him. You know how hard it was for the newbie main female lead to fit in? So there is a side effect of having a very closely knit thing as well. That also they showed pretty well. And they also showed that how you can make bridges to somebody's heart if you have the right intentions in place. My second one is Tunnel. We can talk about it later, but detective police team who are willing to stick with each other, knowing that there is one guy who's probably come from time travel, who's come from past, that 30-year past, and they believe it.
But it's the same thing, right? They have this crazy amount of faith in their boss, who is his best buddy from 30 years, right? The main detective whom they are constantly taking digs at, but they know he's brilliant. And there's this crazy amount of trust, right? Blind trust that they show, the four or five of them, which was fantastic in Tunnel.
Yeah, the camaraderie, the humor. They kept teasing the oldest guy, saying that you are the intern. And he's like, dude, you don't know, I've come from time travel. I'm much older than you. And when the truth keeps revealing to one of them, one by one, there is a disbelief. Yeah, but you know how soon they fall into the pattern? That doesn't matter. We are a team. So I really love that. I would love to work with people who accept you no matter what.
Yeah, I think my favorite team, dream team to work with would be Park Seo Joon's team in She Was Pretty. That team was very realistic for me. Park Seo Joon's character was a little stoic and serious, who wasn't very friendly with his colleague. Your boss's boss is always nice to you, just like the chief editor, Rara, in She Was Pretty. So that is what I felt. It was very realistic. And even all the colleagues towards the climax, as you see that how Park Seo Joon actually stands up for them and helps them. But throughout the drama, you don't see that coming through, which is very likely to how your real life colleagues would be, your real life work would be.
True, absolutely.
And of course, if you have a funny character like Chaiswan in that,
it just elevates it to another level, right?
Absolutely.
K-drama has that one funny character in their team anyway. And if not, they have unintentionally funny people as well.
Oh, yes.
We see that in office as well, right? People have one person who brings all the humor to work. Like I said, they pick up characters from what you see around us. So yeah, it's relatable.
I know.
So I already spoke about romance as a bonus book, right? I would love to work for a boss like that. Everybody would be giving him grief and he would still be cool about it, which I don't think any bosses are like that. So I'll just close off with Descendants of the Sun. Like I've said before, you know, army romance and a doctor set up like the perfect combination. So they come up in this third country, okay, where they are all posted. And the camaraderie that again builds up between them. And they've got this again crazy belief in their boss. Whatever the boss tells them, yeah, they're going to go with it.
Army bias.
Complete army bias, yeah.
You have to follow whatever you need. Choice in the matter.
Army and medical bias, both. Like, come on, give me the best of both worlds. And that was it for me. We spoke about our favorite ensemble cast and we are not going to go in depth, obviously, with each and every character that we love. But I wanted to highlight a couple of ones to bring about the versatility of these actors and actresses, which we've been discussing, how they are great as comedians or even villain or in an emotional role. So the one character, a lot of people might think he's a bit inconsequential, but adds a lot to the plot, is the doctor in female lead's team. I think his name is Lee Seong-jun. He's a senior, so she always falls back on him for advice. And he's got this lovely parallel childhood love story going on with the nurse in the team as well. I was very impressed with his comic timing, but I know from you both, we started discussing our supporting cast, that he's probably done a lot more variety of roles. Should we speak about some characters like this, which we felt that he was so versatile in their roles?
Yeah, so he also plays a few interesting characters, very different from what you talked about, Descendants of the Sun, right? So in Bubblegum, he is Lee Dong-wook's friend. He has equally important role as Lee Dong-wook throughout, from the first episode to the last episode. He's his colleague, his roommate. He also has a love story in parallel with another colleague of the female lead. And he's very funny in that, funny and comical. And he is dealing with his own life problems. And he is the source of support to Lee Dong-wook's character because he's his friend.
Long-suffering housemate.
Yes. That's the best way to put it. But apart from that, in Mr. Sunshine, he plays this, not really the fighting or the king who goes to battles or whatever. He plays a very different kind of a king because it is set in the late 19th century. It is after all the Joseon Kingdom. It was like towards the fag end of Joseon Kingdom, you could say. So when the Japanese colonization was happening, and I think he was the last king of Korea.
First emperor of Korea as well.
Yes. He plays that character, though he doesn't have that valor or like the regal thing.
Macho.
He doesn't have that part at all because his character is this very understanding, empathetic, human king who's trying to understand his people's problems, trying to side with the rebels to make sure that they're rebelling against the Japanese atrocities. He plays this quite nice and sort of helpless king character because he's always going by his minister's words. He's always going by the Japanese ambassador and US ambassador's words. So he's not really thinking for himself or doing whatever he wants to do. So he plays that character with a lot of complexity, actually. In some scenes, you can see that just the change in his expressions within seconds based on what's happening in the court. And you watch that and you're like, wow, that was, you know, amazing. For an actor to portray that to this, it's really good. So I think Lee Sung-joon that way is an amazing, amazing actor.
King Bozong is very famous in history. He's the last king before Japanese invade Korea. So he's always losing power bit by bit. So he's playing that character in that part of the history. And even in personal history of King Bozong, he probably was never a ruler. When he installed on throne when he was a kid and his father used to act as his regent. This is a period which he is playing where there is nobody else acting on his behalf. He has to act for himself. Korea is losing power day by day. But he does that with dignity. He also shows a king's fear of being alone in the palace too well. There are so many scenes where it feels like probably the king is going crazy or he's very scared. Like Sangeeta said, his expression changes every 2 seconds. He is just being majestic, like he has to be in his court. They have to use a particular language and he has to show us a particular body language. He's doing all that. But in the next second, when he realizes his right-hand man might actually go out of the palace, he said, "Would you leave me alone here?" Other character that Lee Sung-joon did so well was an Argun, and I remembered him for that. What is a bad boss like? Just tell me a few adjectives, girls.
A leech who feeds off your energy.
takes credit for all your work. Doesn't back you up when needed in time of need.
Insecure.
Plots evil all the time.
He did all of these pretty well. He came across as a guy who was insecure, who was feeding off your energy, who was worried about you, trying to always steal what you're trying to do. And he did that with complete conviction. And you can't believe he's the same guy who's a sweet, long-suffering friend of Lee Dong-wook in Bubblegum. And in Bubblegum, he's like, there is a scene where, you know, Lee Dong-wook gets his girlfriend to his house, which he's sharing. And he's like walking on eggshells. Should I be there or not? Is it awkward? Am I the third wheel? Should I go out? And he does it with such humorous Ellen in everything that he brings. So fantastic actor with the wide shades.
So another one that came across my mind, he's really one of my favorite, is Jo Han Chul, who was in Romance is a Bonus Book, 100 Days My Prince, and Healer, and also Vincenzo. Again, in Romance is a Bonus Book, my God, he plays such a lovely character. He's so nice as a human being. He wants to do everything in his power for his family. And at the same time, in this ability to try to balance everybody out, he starts ignoring his wife. That leads to tensions between the two. But till the end, he is so much in love with her and all that he wants is happiness for her. He showed that conflict so well. At the same time, what a caring boss he was to the juniors on the team. He brought it out so well. Contradictory, in 100 Days, My Prince, he's actually not an evil king, but he's driven into it by the supporters who want him to become the king. He wants his son to take over, but he's so conflicted that he's wronged a family, okay, in the past to get where he is. these conflicts in his character, I think he brings it out to perfection. So another guy that people should go watch dramas for. I would totally recommend or watch him if he's there. I mean, Vincenzo, he brought so much color.
Yeah, and talking of Johan Chul, I really want to know, in how many dramas did he play a detective or a lawyer? Yeah. All the time he's fighting for.
True.
Any drama I watch, he's like fighting for justice. I'm like, okay, be a bad guy for once, right?
So he was a bit of a bad guy in Vincenzo, and yet your heart went out to him. Like, why are you like this?
Exactly.
Why? You can't be bad. You know, you were just watching, you're like, that's not Johan Chul.
And even in Healer, he has such a small, tiny role compared to every other cast, but he makes his presence felt.
Any other character that stands out?
I'm going to launch straight into Ojanse.
We can write a book together, yeah. Poonam. Why we love Ojanse so much, right? If at all Ojanse is listening to this podcast, please consider us to do your biography if you ever let us do it.
Also, we should mention award acceptance speech that Ojanse gave at the previous Biking Awards. That's inspirational, and that's something that's going to be evergreen. And our goal is to also create similar podcasts which are like evergreen, can be heard anytime and can still be joyful. I should talk about why I love Ojanse so much is I noticed him doing so many little things at first, and I probably didn't realize the range of this actor. Everybody today knows about It's Okay to Be Not Okay. He was like a third lead, and we decided right at the beginning of this podcast that we are not going to talk about people who are the main cast, but Ojanse did not start like that at all. I don't think that role could have been main lead. I think it's how he portrayed also makes it main lead. He's a brother with a mental health condition, somebody who has been taken care of by his brother all his life. Typically, how have you seen mentally afflicted brothers be like? We can remember Dustin Hoffman in Rain Man, and that was one of the rare characters and a different shape. I cannot say Ojanse's character is like that Rain Man character. It has some similarities, of course, as any full-bodied character would be. But he has all the range. He is wise. Because he is the oldest, even if he has a mental condition. So there are a lot of times he tries to take authority with two of his most favorite people, which is the female lead and the male lead. Tells them, don't use bad language. There are times he tells his brother, Moongangte belongs to Moongangte. As in, you belong to yourself. You don't belong to me because you have to take care of me. And at times, he's this childish person, this adult person behaving childish. This can be very annoying, trust me. It can be very annoying to watch. It can be very annoying if it happened in real life. But he just touches your heart. He just makes it believable. He makes it sweet. And he's playing a teenage kid kind of behavior is what he's showing throughout it and managing to touch your heart. Fantastic. Go ahead, Priya Sangeeta. You go ahead. We'll come to touch your heart.
Oh, yeah. Touch your heart. It's such a hilarious character that Ojanse does in that. Initially, you're thinking, okay, he's Lee Dong-wook's boss, and you're trying to peg him in a slot, thinking that, okay, this is a boss character, this is a CEO character. And considering it's a lawyer's office, you have seen so many legal dramas before, so you think that, okay, lawyer's office, boss character will be like this, like stiff guy who's always trying to get more sales, more cases. And here you see, so his 44-year-old a law office CEO, he's fangirling over this female lead character who's an actress, and he says that he's the fan cafe president. I was like, what? How can you even write a character like that? And how is this guy bringing it to life? It was just unimaginable until you've actually seen those episodes and laughed over his character and seen those. A few exchanges between him and Lee Dong-wook are so damn funny. Lee Dong-wook's character in that is so grumpy all the time. He has this serious face, and he's supposed to be this who's not so approachable. And even the female lead is having a tough time trying to understand him and all. And at the elevator, Ojanse is trying to crack these silly jokes. They're saying that, you know, why are we always bumping into each other? Are you waiting for me or am I waiting for you? Are we waiting for each other?
Hurt over not being chosen in love is also real. There are private moments when his real hurt shows, because while he was fangirling, he actually did like female lead so much.
True. That's true. That scene where he says that he's the fan cafe president, literally, I fell off the chair laughing.
If you all can find these scenes, maybe we have to share them with the listeners.
Because... Absolutely. Yeah, we should look it up.
And by the way, he's CEO of a kick-ass law firm. So he has to often take tough decisions and have serious conversation. And yet, it does look like it's the same personality.
Yeah.
Genuinely looks like this person, because he likes the female lead so much, is willing to make fool of himself happily.
True, that's true. He makes it so believable. Maybe if you see a real-life character like that, you might think that, what a creep. But he doesn't make that come out at all. He doesn't make you feel uncomfortable or feel like, oh, what is this character? So that was very well written and well portrayed also.
So I've just watched him in one, which is Hot Stuff League. And I loved him in that drama. I wouldn't call him the villain. He plays the antagonist. So the first 6-7 episodes, you're angry at him and you're thinking, why is he doing this? This guy is doing all his best to bring up this number one team and he's just putting hindrances. But they showed in a couple of scenes how vulnerable his character is to the actual boss or the owner of that whole corporate.
Exactly.
And how he stands up to his bullying cousin. I think those scenes stayed with me. I mean, watch It's Okay to Not Be Okay only because you girls have praised him so much. And I like him as an actor so much that, yes, maybe for him, I will definitely watch another drama.
Two antagonist roles that I can recall, and one of them in Beautiful Mind, he is this guy who has been traumatized by his elder brother and his father throughout his life. They make him feel like he's a weakling or they don't value him. And he has become a CEO of this hospital where the whole drama is taking place. So he tries to drop his authority on them here. So there are scenes where he behaves like an antagonist and there are scenes where he's totally vulnerable in front of his family. And then something peculiar is happening in his drama, some hormone changes happening and I don't want to give too much away. So Meenal, you said the right word, vulnerable. He brings across vulnerability so well in that role. In Beautiful Mind, it's watchworthy. And Beautiful Mind has two other characters who have strong magnetic presence. One is Jang Hyuk himself and the other one is my other entry for Best Dad. And yet, he does make his mark in that role. Second antagonist role is the good detective, where he is a person of interest in the investigation. And he is this person who is showing sorrow over somebody's death. There is a scene where one of the male leads talks about, you know what, once he killed his dog. And later he was saying, oh my God, I miss him so much. My poor thing, poor little thing. Oh Jinsei is just like that. He could do one thing and then come and make you believe about he feels otherwise. Awesome.
We've discussed so much about Oh Jung-sae's characters. And I think the best one for which he won an award, we link up to the speech as well for that character award. He was the best brother, right? So should we go on to our dream team in terms of who we would pick as a best sibling, best mom, and best grandpa and talk about all the characters there?
Even though we may have picked actors for a particular role like a mom or a dad they did, but they are versatile. They are doing many other things in different places. And even when they're playing a grandfather, there are different kinds of grandfather in different kinds of roles. So even we are talking about one character or two characters, it's not an entire reflection of their career or their capability at all, because they can do much, much more. More than that.
Yeah, and we just have a limited time, right, to speak about them. So what we can do is share their biographies or share their work, in our links. We'll try our level best to do that. And listeners can go check them out.
Yes, and we just want to put together a dream family, dream team, a dream set of people that want to have in our life based on the characters they've played in these dramas. So that is what we want to put together. Because we were talking about Oh Jung-sae, he was the best sibling ever for Poonam. She spoke so much about It's Okay to Not Be Okay. For me, the sibling, the most favorite sibling would be Lee Dahee. I would love to have a sibling like Lee Dahee in Beauty Inside. All the time, Lee Min Ki and she have this sibling rivalry, and like it happens in typical Chaebol families, they have these fight over inheritance and who gets to represent the family and all that. All that is happening while Lee Min Ki has this, he has a medical problem. So how she stands up for him, and she is the only one who speaks for him in the whole drama, apart from the female lead. How this show, this whole relationship evolving and how she stands up for him, he doesn't expect that. He always keeps thinking that if she gets to know, she'll probably use it against me, put me at a disadvantage. But she doesn't do that. When she gets to know, she's like, how could you not tell me? You're my brother. Why didn't you tell me? So that is very sweet. And I would love to have a sibling like that.
very feisty, and she's not playing goody two shoes sibling either. She's playing a person with shades of gray.
Absolutely.
Show all these emotions in the same role across 16 episodes. It's you have to be really accomplished to be able to do that.
Totally.
And I think every entry that we have picked up in this episode can do that.
Totally.
You all said feisty, right? One of the most feisty characters I saw was played by Ryu Hye-young as Sun Bora in Reply 1988. She plays the eldest sister among the three siblings. And the other two siblings are shown to be like dumb in the academics and stuff like that, okay? She is kick-ass, intelligent, working hard. Parents have a lot of hopes from her. At the same time, there are so many shades to her character, and in Reply 1988, they've touched upon the democratic uprising among the students that was going on in that year. She's a part of it. She's not afraid. She knocks sense into not only her siblings, but also her siblings' gang. When one of the friends loses his parent, she's the first one who goes to comfort him the way he wants to be comforted. Not everybody understands your grief, and she does at that point. And her scene with her father at her wedding at the end. So they have a very odd relationship. Okay, they're not very free with each other. But the love and respect that she shares for her father comes out. I would like an elder sister like that who whacks the shit out of you. Sorry, pardon my French. But at the same time, her love is boundless. The other one I want to mention, and Poonam has also watched Be Melodramatic, and she'll also vouch for this, is Yeon Ji-yeon. I haven't seen him in any of the other dramas. This is the first one I saw. He plays the character of Lee Yo-bong. He's the younger brother of Yoon Jung, played by Jin Yeobin. I haven't mentioned too many names anyway. So this sister has gone through a setback and is in depression. And as a younger brother, he steps up. And he takes care of her. He gets along fabulously with her friends. He brings home a found family to help his sister through. And though the title says be melodramatic, without an ounce of melodrama, the relationship of the brother-sister as it plays out in the whole series is just beautiful to watch. There's one scene where he's playing the guitar and she's like, why are you playing this song? And he very says, this song helps you calm down. And she says, I'm leading a luxurious life. I have my own human jukebox. And I want Poonam to speak something which is very close to her heart about the character that he plays on the show and how it spans out.
Yeah, this is Juneteenth. So it makes special mention to the fact it is one of the rarest gay characters with portrayal that we see across. We melodramatic writers were pretty smart to plug in gay character which melds in with the entire cast. You can even say that he's like a fourth lead because he's friends with the three girls group. And the scenes where all four of them sit together are one of the best scenes of the drama. And within that, they have also maintained his identity as an LGBT character. I love Meenal says that how he takes care of his sister, and it's unsaid, not much drama around it. Something very wrong is going on with the sister, which all of them can see, but they accept it. So first, that acceptance, huge acceptance. There is one scene when he realizes it's time to sort this, and he goes to have a conversation with the sister. And that 2-minute clip, how well it goes. He's scared about talking about getting some mental health help. Her response is like, yeah, sure, I will do it. As if she's responding, yeah, I will give you a glass of milk or I'll give you a tea. That's how she reacts, because that's the strength of their relationship. Again, I haven't seen this actor anywhere else, but I think he did a decent job of being in love with a boy and being such a great friend to three Nunas.
Like I said, we will watch him sometime in other dramas, but you know, even one role just stands out. I think this was one of those. So, siblings, what about the parents? Dear listeners, you will have to wait another week to know who made it to our dream family. The parents, the grandparents, and the aunts. And we also have an additional bonus of our favorite characters that provide the much-needed comic relief. Until then, do share your favorite ensemble cast and siblings with us. We look forward to hearing from you. If you liked our episode, do send us your feedback. Our email and voice message links are in the episode notes. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Our handles are also in our episode notes. We will be back with another fun episode of Crash Landed on K-Dramas. Until then, Aniyo!